to another episode of the Better with Booze Film Club podcast. With all new mics that are picking up a lot of stuff. These are very environmental. So if you hear a cat from four rooms away, you'll know why. I am Cameron Furman. I am joined this week by...
Which
one
is it? Oh, is it me? Okay.
Yeah.
By Sarah. Hi. I was here a few weeks ago. And I'm back.
She's back.
And Glenn. Just and, regular and, Glenn. And
Glenn is also
Glenn
here.
Glenn is good.
And this week we watched a movie called
Love
The Love Punch. Punch.
The Love Punch.
We've had a hard time remembering
that
of
name.
This movie.
Gosh.
Well, it doesn't really make sense.
No, it doesn't. No way applies to this movie.
So, Glenn, you want to do a quick synopsis?
Sure. We've got Emma Thompson and Pierce Brosnan as an ex-husband and wife who find themselves suddenly without money because the company that he put all their investments in, including his own company he just recently retired from, apparently just absconded with all the money.
Yes.
And so
bastards.
Yes, the another company came in and basically just made all their money worthless and took off with all the profits. And they've got to, they hatch a plan to get all their money back by stealing from the person who stole from them. So they join forces with another couple who they are friends with, travel to France, to Cannes, and try to steal their money back via stealing a diamond from this guy that he had bought for his wife.
Yes, it's one of those good old
it's
fashioned
a caper.
Diamond heist capers.
Yeah, it's a caper movie. And along the way, they're helped by their son, who can hack into anything, apparently, and, well, this other couple that I mentioned with Timothy Spall. And I know her name, but
yeah,
I always forget it.
I can't remember it.
But
she's
her
in,
face is so familiar.
Everything.
Yeah. Good Lord.
Cela Imrie.
Yes. They're a lot of fun. So the four of them have a great caper.
Yes.
Trying to steal back their money. It's a fun, light movie.
It's a, yes. Which gets terrible reviews.
I'm not sure I understand the terrible reviews.
It gets a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
I certainly wouldn't judge it that harshly.
I just think people, comedies especially, struggle because everybody has a different sense of humor.
True.
And everybody thinks some things are funny and not other things. And I, for instance, don't like the Hangover films, although I know
movies.
They're immensely popular.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
So obviously, comedies, I think, get a short shrift on these sort of Rotten Tomato type websites.
Yeah. I think this movie defied people's expectations of it, which is probably why it got such bad reviews. I think people, with who is in the cast, and these days, they probably expected a different type of comedy.
It also felt like an older movie.
Right.
A little
That's
bit,
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that it was done. Even from the opening, it looked very kind of that old style with the shaker.
I liked the opening credit sequence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool.
It's very retro.
This does harken back to caper movies of the old days.
It had a slight sort of, well, it almost had like a Cary Grant, Hitchcockian sort
very
of.
Much so. Mm-hmm.
Especially Pierce Brosnan in the boat at the end when he's riding in the back of the boat was doing some very Cary Grant-like mugging.
Yeah, it was. Old-fashioned movie. I think that's what it is, and I
think that's sort of what you would hire Pierce Brosnan and Emma Thompson for.
Sure,
an old-fashioned romantic comedy thing.
I think people forget. I mean, with Emma Thompson doing so much great drama and Shakespeare and everything,
absolutely.
People forget she got her start with comedy.
Yes, well, not only acting but also writing comedy.
Exactly. I mean, she wrote for. At college,
she was in the
Footlights.
I think she was in the Footlights.
Right.
Yeah.
She comes from the Stephen Fry school
and Hugh Laurie and Tony Slattery.
And she, of course, she can do anything.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, she's
I
a very
love
good
her
actress.
As an actress.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Because she does subtle, but she can also do pretty broad mugging comedy.
Yeah.
All of which is on display here. Timothy Spall, fantastic in this role.
I thought he was
as
great.
As a sort of like permanently drunk kind of.
Well, with his mysterious background that his wife keeps finding out about in bits and pieces.
Oh, I've got a guy. From where?
Well, you remember when I was in Guam. You remember when I was in the paratroopers in Australia.
No. You have a diamond guy.
No, it was very, he was very funny in it.
And there were a lot of like gratuitous sort of the four of them a la Reservoir Dogs sort of slow motion.
Oh yeah, that was great.
Absolutely. Those
and they came up all the time and yet every one of them was enjoyable.
The hotel one was especially funny though.
Oh my gosh, with the brief interruption.
Yeah, that was great.
And the scuba diving gear one.
That was beautiful.
The snorkeling one.
It was very good.
And it was a pretty rote comedy, really.
Yeah.
But it was in the hands of people who are enjoyable to watch on screen. Otherwise, it would have just been a sort of stereotypical something you would find in like the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s style of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the comedy with it had John Candy and Richard
Pryor?
No. Depressed comedian. It's always dressed in black.
Richard Jenna? No, it wasn't.
No. Richard. Anyway, and it's Sean Young was in it, and I think it was Jim Belushi.
I have no idea.
It took place
about.
In like the south of France. It took place in Monte Carlo.
Don't
know this one.
Well, you should look it up sometime. It's pretty funny. It also had George Hamilton in it.
Oh, well, George Hamilton, South France, perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up while we're talking.
Once Upon a Crime, I believe.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, Once Upon a Crime.
Once Upon a Crime. Yeah, I haven't heard of it.
It is actually a very funny movie. I might recommend it at the end of this episode. But anyway, that's not the movie we're talking about. So we would say Love Punch, despite the strange name of it.
I still can't sort out the name.
Oh, yeah. John Candy, James Belushi, Sybil Shepherd, Sean Young, Richard Lewis.
Richard Lewis. That's,
I like Sybil
Shepherd.
There
we go. Yeah. And there's good old George Hamilton. Giancarlo Giannini.
Yeah.
All right. Once Upon a Crime. So this is like that, a caper type thing?
Or was that
a caper thing?
Yeah, it was a sort of, yeah, European capery comedy sort of thing.
Cool.
Featuring, anyway, you should see it.
Well, like John Candy. I'm surprised I haven't even heard of it.
So, Love Punch. I still can't remember the damn name.
Love Struck, Love What, Punch Buggy.
I keep
buggy.
Thinking of Punch Drunk Love for whatever reason.
I mean, some of the plot lines were kind of dumb, like the allergy thing was kind of...
Yeah,
but
it was all silly.
It was a silly comedy.
It was meant to be, yeah. It wasn't supposed to take itself seriously.
So I enjoyed it. I think everybody enjoyed it. Ratings out of 5, Sarah?
I'm kind of torn between a 3.5 and a 4. Because while I liked it, I'm not a big fan of comedy. And I honestly think that had it not been for Pierce Brosnan and Emma Thompson's absolute charm on the film and chemistry between the two of them, they carried the entire movie in terms of the dialogue wasn't always necessarily fantastic. I think some of the scenes that were meant to be the really funny ones and some of the ones we laughed the hardest at, I personally only found it funny because it was the two of them delivering it.
There was a lot of mugging involved.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So casting-wise, fantastic. Actual writing and plot development and storyline, a little less so. So I'll probably give it a 3.5.
Glenn.
Good explanation. I feel about the same way. I'm like, should I give it a 4?
Yeah,
I would, but it just like with anybody else in those roles, I'm going to give it a lower rating and a lot lower rating. I don't know. I'm going to give it a 3.5, but I liked it.
See, here's the thing. I fall slightly in the same area, except the fact that
it was those roles. Yes.
So I found it perfectly enjoyable, and I liked watching Pierce Brosnan and Emma Thompson interact with each other. Mm-hmm. I thought they made for a pretty convincing and charming ex-married couple.
They were a very sweet ex-married couple.
I'm going to give it a 4.
Nice.
So there you go. It's a total of 10.5 out of 15, which never sounds like a good score.
How can that be?
Because we did 6.5 and you did 4.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, no, we're both wrong.
No.
It's 11.
No, it's 11.
It's
11.
It's 11.
It is 11.
I thought maybe it was a new kind of math.
It is the Tom Lehrer, New Math.
Yes.
So 11 out of 15, which
new
is, like,
mathematics.
Is good.
That's a good. That's, yeah, a, that's good.
We recommend see, would
passing,
we recommend seeing it?
Yes. Yeah. It's a passing question. Grade. It's yeah. charming.
Okay. And now we move on to mind-blowing movie trivia.
Wow.
We really need to get the intros back.
We really
I wasn't going to say anything.
Also, this is strange. It's been a long time. We haven't seen the cat.
I haven't heard the cat.
No, nope. Morecambe is usually over here in a flash when we start recording these things. I'm sure he'll show up.
He's not locked in his room, is he?
No, unless you closed him in his room. There were a lot of cats in this film.
Yeah, there were a lot
so
of cats,
many
in, this
cats
film.
In this film.
Yeah.
My goodness.
And I did like the line where Pierce Brosnan is, please don't throw them out the window.
That was great. That was a nice little addition.
All right, so I've got some great
whoa,
trivia
very
for
excited.
You. Sorry about that. Yeah. No, you can turn it back down. I'll back off a little bit.
Okay. Overstimulated.
All right. I'm going to start with my Universal movie trivia because I said, you know, after their 100th anniversary, I'm just going to try to throw a little Universal
stuff in there. I'm fairly
certain
this is about the fourth time you've done Universal movie.
Well, yeah, I've got a lot of it. I've got like 100 pieces of Universal movie trivia to spread out over the coming years. No, I'm kidding. I don't have that many.
Then spread away. like a fine manure, spread that Universal movie trivia.
The first actor to receive a nomination for Best Actor for Universal Studios, would you have any... You won't have any guess. Never mind. Doesn't matter. William Powell.
Oh, I like William
in
Powell.
I love William Powell. 1936 film. Yes. My Man Godfrey.
Oh, I like that
which
film,
is
too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That, he was the first person to receive a nomination for Best Actor from Universal Studios. Universal Movie. Yeah. He didn't win, but, you know.
And who did?
I don't know. I should have looked that part up.
I can look it up.
1936, My Man Godfrey. He was great in everything. He's just enjoyable to watch. I mean, and he and Myrna Loy were just freaking awesome together as in the Thin Man series.
Was that wasn't a Universal?
No, I don't
that
think.
Was RKO,
that was probably somebody else. Although if he's on contract to Universal, I don't know.
The 1936 best Oscar winner was Victor
McLaughlin.
McLaughlin. McLaughlin.
Oh, a different guy. It's not that guy.
McLaglin for a movie called The Informer.
I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure none of us have seen.
Right.
Whereas My Man Godfrey.
Yeah, everybody's seen
most
that.
Most of us have seen.
Everybody knows that. All right, well, he got robbed. All right.
Whoa, okay.
Another Universal.
Got to tamp down on the excitement, random excitement levels.
Does that seem that exciting?
I didn't think so. Yeah. I think you had control and enthusiasm.
Yeah. All right. The final speech. This were still Universal movies here.
I also realized I've been adjusting not your mics.
Good.
I've been turning Sarah down.
Fair enough.
Oh, man. The final speech by Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Love Gregory Peck.
Was done in one take.
Was it really?
It was. Didn't even film a second one.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty impressive.
That is incredibly impressive.
Yeah.
Sarah is a good stand-in for your audience.
Ooh.
No, that's impressive. I love Gregory Peck.
Well, of course
I absolutely love
take,
Gregory
man.
Peck.
Come on, nobody does that.
By the way, the Thin Man series was MGM.
Oh. Okay. All right, very good.
The more you know.
Keeping with Gregory Peck, we're going to shoot on over to the Italian Riviera. Well, not the Riviera, but Rome.
A movie I don't like that much.
Roman Holiday?
I don't like it.
Aww.
Not a fan. It's one of the biggest things Greg Sala and I fight about because he absolutely loves
he
it.
He does. He adores that film.
He loves Roman Holiday.
Huh. I like Roman Holiday, but I actually don't enjoy Audrey Hepburn that much in that movie.
I don't like Audrey Hepburn in almost anything.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen a role that I've really enjoyed her in. I understand her charm and her appeal, but I don't know. I hated Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Give me Katharine Hepburn any day of the week.
Oh, I hated Breakfast at
Tiffany's. But Katharine Hepburn can't do those kind of roles.
Yeah, but Katharine Hepburn is a class act.
She couldn't have done Roman Holiday.
No.
Well, Grace Kelly could have.
Yes.
Hell, she lived most of it. Yeah, I just don't get the Audrey Hepburn thing. But although Wait Until Dark.
That was really good.
Excellent film.
That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. So, Roman Holiday.
Anyway,
you're not going to like this.
Butchered Audrey.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to like this piece of trivia then. Of course, Roman Holiday, 1953. That was Audrey Hepburn's first major film role, and it garnered her the Oscar for Best Actress. However, within minutes of accepting the Oscar, she lost it. She accidentally left it in the ladies' room Center Theater in New York City. And when she was outside and they wanted to interview her and take pictures of her with her statuette, she was like, uh-oh. She had to go find it.
Me no got.
She lost it. Five minutes after getting the Oscar, she lost the damn thing. So, she had to run back inside and get it out of the bathroom. By the way, one of the writers for that movie was, do you remember?
Roman Holiday?
Yes, one of the Hollywood Ten.
Was it the Hollywood Ten?
Yeah.
Who was...
Yes, you know exactly who I'm going to say.
Ring Gardner?
No.
He was in the Hollywood Ten, wasn't he?
Well, this would be Dalton Trumbo.
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. Dalton Trumbo.
Dalton Trumbo was not eligible to receive, unfortunately, the winning Oscar for Best Writing for a Motion Picture Story due to being blacklisted at the time. It had to go to one of the co-writers who had to accept the Oscar for it. However, there was some pay and some money involved with all that, and that person, whose name I now forget, actually gave the $50,000 to Dalton Trumbo.
Oh, that was good.
Which was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
So, and the movie won 3 Oscars. Mm. Obviously, Hepburn for her role, but it also won for Best Story and Best Costume Design. And do you know who the costume designer was for that movie?
No. No idea.
It would be a person who has all the Oscars. Her name is Edith Head.
Oh, Edith Head, yeah. She does have a lot of Oscars.
Yeah, it was nominated for 7 Oscars. So it also was nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, William Wyler, Best Great Actor in a Supporting Role, Eddie Albert, and Best Cinematography, Best Art and Set Direction, Best Editing, and Best Writing of a Screenplay.
Edith Head has 8 Oscars.
Wow.
Thank you for stealing my next piece of trivia.
Whoops.
Sorry.
Edith Head has 8 Oscars, but do you know how many nominations she has?
Like a billion.
Like, well, 35.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Making her both the most honored costume designer and the most honored woman in Academy Awards
Now,
history.
Glenn knows the answer to this question, so I'll direct it All to right. Sarah.
Uh-oh.
What individual has won the most Academy Awards?
I'm not sure.
Glenn. Oh. Glenn.
What? What individual?
Yeah.
This is the trick question, right?
It is not a trick question. They clearly have the most Oscars.
You're not talking about Walt Disney.
Walt Disney has won the most Oscars.
That's a trick question because he didn't win them. The Walt Disney Studios won them.
What? The producer of the film won them.
Okay,
and he was the producer
was
of the film.
Yeah,
so they're legitimately
what I was thinking,
his Oscars.
Okay.
Including Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, in which they gave him a full-size statue and 7 little statues.
That's really cool.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of funny.
That is fun.
And Edith Head, even though she died quite a while ago, she lives on in other motion pictures. Do you know that the character... Did you guys see Pixar's The Incredibles?
Oh my gosh, I am obsessed with The Incredibles.
I've actually not seen The Incredibles.
Are you serious?
I have a copy of it around
You
here
have to watch it. It is... Oh my gosh, it's like the best Pixar movie ever made.
I think it is the best Pixar
it
movie
is.
Ever made.
It absolutely is. They're making a second one, and I couldn't be more excited.
I'm still going with Up.
No, this is better.
I love The Incredibles. I think it's
a better movie.
I haven't seen Wall-E yet either.
That one is also really good.
Wall-E's good. Incredibles is way better.
Incredibles is way better. Oh, yeah.
Well, the character of Edna Mode, who makes all the costumes, that's Edith Head.
That's really cool.
That's who that is.
That is really cool. Yeah. I didn't know that.
And that character was actually voiced by the director.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That is mind-blowing trivia. No, you have to watch The Incredibles, Cam.
Yeah. I might change my recommendation.
You should. It's a great movie. His whole "Where is my super suit" monologue? Oh my gosh! Well, my roommates and I will just yell that at each other when we can't find stuff. It's fantastic. It's a good movie. It's worth watching.
And that was mind-blowing movie trivia. Kaboom! Wata. Hey, Morecam.
Finally,
he's sitting silently in the back.
Oh my gosh!
Just staring us down.
He looks incredibly unsettling.
In a very creepy way.
He's judging me.
He is.
Well,
he's judging him for not seeing
The Incredibles. Well, he doesn't know Sarah. Yeah. That's the problem.
He knows what Cam's missing.
It's all right, buddy. So now we move on to booze banter. We'll make this a quick segment because we didn't really do beers. We just drank booze.
Yeah.
And it was first the... I can't even remember what we drank. We drank
bourbon.
Yeah, the bourbon.
And then the gin.
And then the gin.
And then the other thing.
And then the rum. The rum was an El Dorado 15-year aged reserve.
Did we actually drink the rum?
I drank the rum. I held
you
up.
You got rum? Did you not drink it?
No, I never got a hold of it. No.
Well, I held up my end of the deal.
You carried both our glasses up.
I did. Yours is on the counter.
Oh, shit.
Hold on. I'm reaching for... you can have mine, Glenn. I've had it before. So we had a El Dorado 15-year aged rum. We had the Nolet's Silver Gin. And we had the... bourbon.
There you go.
Which I really wish I could remember the name of.
I think I should detach and go get the bourbon.
Don't detach. It's going to make a lot of noise.
Okay.
The feedback is going to be aggressive.
It was a good bourbon.
Okay. What's the point?
There is no point anymore.
It's a good bourbon.
It's all gone. It's all gone pear-shaped. No, I can look it up quick. So talk about what you thought about the gin and the rum.
Well, I'm not, to be honest, particularly fond of any of those types of alcohol, but of all of them, I did really like the gin. That was nice. Mm. It was, in terms of being the smoothest, I thought the gin was pretty good.
I thought my gin tasted a little bit like bourbon.
Can't imagine why.
Weller's. W.L. Weller's Special Reserve Bourbon.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go. Yeah, I enjoyed the gin a lot. That was actually a really good gin. And the rum here is, it's okay.
I will say Nolet is my favorite gin.
Yeah.
They make Nolet Silver. They make a gold, which is, last I checked, around about $700 a bottle.
Oh my gosh.
It is infused with verbena and saffron.
I better have freaking saffron in it for that amount of money.
Good lord.
And I don't actually like it that much.
No.
No.
$700 a bottle. First thing I thought was it better have a shitload of saffron in it. Mm.
That's ridiculous.
I find the silver to be much better.
Okay.
And
it was
then,
very good.
Yeah.
And I loved the Weller's bourbon. I thought that was excellent.
Yes, and a steal at a very cheap
rate,
if you can track down a bottle. This has been a very meandering booze banter. we recommend drinking booze, as our names would imply.
Fair definitely. Enough.
And for our question and answer segment, we turn to everyone's favorite dark hole of despair. That is Yahoo Answers.
Yay!
In the, more specifically, in the film category. I say film. That gives it a lot more credence than it really deserves.
Yeah,
in the movie category of film answers. From Yahoo Answers, first random question. What is your favorite obscure film? It's kind of a weird question though, because it implies that, I mean, what is an obscure film?
A lesser known film, I would argue.
Yeah, things most people wouldn't have seen.
I guess off the beaten trail film.
And it takes a little time to come up with them sometimes. Cause either,
oh, I have
either.
My, I have one I have my top three. My
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good, I love good. Obscure movies.
All right. We'll start with Sarah then.
Yeah. You know.
My probably, and I don't know that this is obscure, but it is an international film. But it's called Heaven, and it's a movie starring Kate Blanchett, and it's a Swedish film, and it's very good. And then Griff the Invisible Man, which was
I would recommend the song Heaven by Talking Heads as well.
Also good. And then I also really love Griff the Invisible Man, which was my recommendation last time I was
here. It was your recommendation last time you were here.
Griff.
And it did sound good, and I have not.
It is good. I like it. I like it a lot.
I got a long dad's list, though. It's going to take me 8 lifetimes to get through it.
And I would say those are probably my top two. Yeah, I would argue that those two are. And then The Lobster, which I don't know if it's obscure so much as artsy, but it is a really interesting movie.
Glenn.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time coming up with anything that's real obscure right now off the top of my head.
Well, I'll bat it over to me and you can go on. I'm going to go with Harold and Maude.
That is a good movie.
Yeah, which I do think is still obscure, even though now it's kind of got a cult following.
Yeah.
I mean, cult films, I guess, by their very nature, are obscure films. But you could be a cult film that then becomes no longer obscure, I suppose. Like a Rocky Horror Picture Show, is that still obscure?
I would argue that that's become pretty mainstream.
Yeah. But Harold Mudd certainly is not mainstream.
No. By any stretch.
And we're back to Glenn again.
Awesome.
Right. I will say one of the answers, the first answers on the only answers, which I love, because I've seen this film and no one else has ever seen it, is a film called Cane Toads, which is an Australian documentary about the invasion of cane toads into Australia. And it is mind-blowingly crazy. In fact, I recommended it on one of these podcasts.
So it can be a documentary, too.
Could be, yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to recommend a Nanook of the North?
I'm not. But, okay, some obscure films.
By the way, for some reason we're on the UK Yahoo Answers page, but I don't think it really makes a difference.
Probably not.
Okay, I've got a couple then.
What is your favorite film set in Wales?
we'll go...
Not How Green Is My... Well, yeah, How Green Is My Valley, I guess.
For the creepy factor, I'll go with The Abominable Snowman of the Himalayas.
No, good, good.
With Peter Cushing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Forrest Tucker.
Love me some Peter Cushing.
Yeah, it's actually a very... No, people don't know about it, but it's a very atmospheric film and
everything I've
good.
Ever read about Peter Cushing was he was a very generous and gentlemanly man, but also very lonely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Aw, that's so sad.
That is sad.
I'll go with another one.
Thought you were going to go with Boggy Creek Creature 2, by the way. God, no. I got to see that again. Or Boggy Creek Creature 1.
Yeah, one. Yeah, either one of them. How about there's an Australian film called Black Water, which was really good, and it was about these people who are stalked. It's a true, based on a true story. The fiance.
I think it popped up on Netflix recently. Yeah, and I saw it, and I was thinking about watching it.
They're being stalked by a saltwater crocodile in the outback, and it's freakishly entertaining, but also scary.
Check it out.
Like you won't ever go into the outback. It's based on a true story.
Well, not going to happen anyway.
Yeah, I didn't have any intentions for that.
The outback is essentially a space full of things trying to kill you.
Everything there wants to kill you.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. And my documentary will be Tim's Vermeer.
That's a good film.
Yeah.
I think you've recommended it before.
I have. And I gave a copy to Alistair.
Which he probably still hasn't seen.
Yeah, he hasn't seen it yet.
Next random Yahoo Answers question. This was a good one. At a movie theater, which armrest is yours?
Left.
Both of them.
Yes, if not both of them left.
Is there a etiquette?
No.
I don't think so. I usually
use right, but...
I'm left-handed, so my stuff usually goes to the left.
Yeah.
All right, well, I can't ask that one.
Oh. We could sit next to one another in movies.
Yeah, it would work out. It'd work fine.
It'd piss both of your neighbors off, but...
That's fine. We're not there for them.
Yeah.
Random Yahoo Answers question. If you had to watch only one movie for the rest of your
impossible.
Life, what would it be? I've never heard
question.
Of the movie Impossible.
Great movie, but that's not my answer.
Glenn, I suspect I know your answer,
you
actually.
You probably do know my answer.
Yeah.
In reality, I couldn't watch just one movie for the rest of
but
my life.
But if you were forced at gunpoint for really long, I guess the guy's...
I was going to say, my life is probably not going to be too long then.
He's going to get tired of it long before I do.
Yeah.
Let's say the world is saying all movies must be burned but one.
Oh, man.
In our dystopian future heading toward.
I'll probably think of something else better later, but I'm going to say 2001,
it's 2001
A Space
right?
Odyssey.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
My gut answer was Star Wars.
Okay.
Empire Strikes Back.
I would go with Lawrence of Arabia, except I may be going with North by Northwest.
Ooh.
Ooh, good choice.
I think I'm going to go North by Northwest.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd also like to change my answer. I've decided, because when you said North by Northwest, it made me think of all the Hitchcock movies I like. I'm going to go with Spellbound, because I can watch that so many times and be totally happy.
I'm going to change mine to Marnie. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, pick Marnie. Next random Yahoo answers, what is your favorite movie? I like The Fast and the Furious.
That's a shame.
You don't need to answer that. I just wanted to read the question.
That's a shame.
What is your... Oh, that's an interesting question.
What is it?
What is your favorite classic pre-1960s movie? That's a hard one, because a lot of my favorite movies are 60s and yeah, 70s.
Right, they fall right in there.
Classic pre-1960s movie. Man, there's...
I have to check.
All right, North by Northwest.
Yeah, I have to check the date.
I'm going North by Northwest. I already took that one. You can't have it, bitches.
I don't want it.
Well, you can take Spellbound if you really
want
to.
Yeah, I'm confirming that Spellbound was pre-1960s, and I'm pretty sure it was.
But it has to be classic, so like I couldn't say King Kong or anything.
Well, you could.
King Kong is absolutely classic.
That's a classic film. Okay. Are you going King Kong?
Yeah, why not? Because I can't think of anything else right off the top of my head.
All right. Next random Yahoo Answers question. Have you ever seen a movie? I'm assuming you're going Spellbound, by the way, Sarah.
Yeah, it was came out in the 40s, so we're good.
Have you ever seen a movie so intense that the audience left the theater in silence?
Yeah, I've done that a couple of times.
So intense that the audience left? I mean, I've seen them so bad the audience left, and so bad that I've left.
In silence.
They didn't leave because they were so unhappy.
Schindler's List.
12 Years a Slave.
Okay, I didn't see either of those in the theater.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say no, I have never
seen. Also, I didn't talk when I walked out of Inside Out because for whatever reason, that was just an emotional journey. Pixar just took you for a ride during that film.
Impressive.
Glenn, this one's for you. Is Jaws a great movie to watch for the 4th of July?
Absolutely.
I concur.
Yeah.
That's a weird question. Next random Yahoo Answers question. Why is Independence Day only celebrated in America when Will Smith saved the whole world?
Fair enough. That's a good question. He doesn't get enough appreciation. He works really hard. Saved us all from those aliens.
To which one
except
of
the
answers
wife,
was,
but, you know,
good
he
point.
Did his best.
Next random Yahoo Answers question. Name one movie that defined the 1990s.
Titanic.
Well, see, that's the thing. Everybody's saying Titanic, but I don't really feel Titanic defined the 1990s.
It didn't define
the 1910s.
Yeah, I mean, it was the biggest movie of the 1990s.
But it doesn't
because
really
it was
have
the biggest
a
movie of all time. No. Yeah,
let's
okay.
See.
So what
defining
defined the 1990s?
Movies of
it's
the
like
90s.
The 1950s were defined by American Graffiti.
Except that was made in the 70s.
Except it was made in the 70s. Yeah.
Pulp Fiction was 90s.
Yeah, although that didn't really define the 90s.
I can't think of any movie.
None of these particularly
define the 90s.
The Big Lebowski.
I'm tempted to go with something like
Fargo is a great movie. I love it. Sixth Sense.
The 90s were kind of a featureless decade, really.
They kind of were. I mean, they had a lot of good movies, but I don't know that any of these were particularly of the times. I don't know, Sandlot is pretty, that's
but
pretty
the Sandlot
90s.
Took place in the 1960s.
Yeah.
True.
So it's not of the 90s.
True. And even Fargo took place in the 1980s.
Oh, I got one.
Pretty
well. No, that's kind of more of the 80s. Like Clueless. Is Clueless of the 90s?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll go Clueless.
The Mighty Ducks. Love that movie.
The Mighty Ducks.
Truman Show. That's a really good movie.
Okay, here's one for Sarah.
George Orwellian.
Question, why do women like the movie Dirty Dancing so much?
I don't know. I hate the movie Dirty Dancing. I'm not the person to ask.
It's a very good question because I don't get the people's
liking
of Dirty Dancing either.
I think what it is it's that, you know.
I like Jerry Orbach in it, but that's about it.
He is great in it. I think it's that, you know, Patrick Swayze thing. He's got that charm
I
going
don't get
on.
Because Patrick Swayze
nobody
is
puts
not
baby
good
in
looking.
A corner. He's not, but he played that kind of bad boy type and you know
but he wasn't
she
even a bad boy in
she
that
transformed
film.
Him he
there
kind of
was about him that
he was
rebel-ish.
He was misunderstood. Women love a dude who's misunderstood. That's just kind of a thing, and you know, nobody puts baby in a corner. That's very empowering and all that good stuff. I don't know, I hated it. I thought it was a terrible movie.
Agree.
Next random Yahoo Answers question. Who played the best Joker in Batman?
Okay,
Glenn,
my...
I think I know your answer. I think I know
my answer doesn't technically count.
Okay. Well, it still counts.
Because it's Hamill, and he was cartoon.
Well, it still
so
counts,
I don't know if that counts. He's so good.
Yeah, he is really
brilliant.
I wasn't even going cartoons until you said
I know where you were going.
Where was I going?
Where were you going?
Jack Nicholson.
No.
Cesar Romero.
I was going Cesar Romero. Yeah,
Nicholson was choice, too.
I was thinking movies.
But in terms of the voice and the tone, oh, my God, you got to go Hamill.
Have you ever seen any of the Batman?
It's brilliant.
I'm still going Cesar Romero.
Yeah.
Hamill is brilliant, though.
Can't answer that question. Can't ask that question. Can't answer that question.
Will Next. That make us blush?
Yes. Whoa.
What is happening over there?
I'm telling you, you have to cull through the answers questions. If I just asked you every single question down the line,
we'd learn a lot about
each other. We do have a mature rating.
We do have a mature rating, but some not even that mature. And you're down. No, that's, I can't ask that. And I just asked that. Are you? No, can't ask that.
Let's just chat while he looks for a question.
While he sorts this one out.
Glenn, sort of for you.
Okay.
Well, maybe for Sarah. And it says top three, but you could go, I don't know, one or two. What are the top three scariest movies you have ever seen?
The Exorcist.
Yeah, The Exorcist is number one.
The Exorcist is kind of everybody's number one.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The Exorcist is number one.
I actually really love scary movies.
Yeah.
I love this question. Sorry. Continue answering, but I'm going to ask this one next.
What else really scared you?
Exorcist really scared me. I'm a psychological thriller kind of person. Yeah. I prefer things that could actually potentially happen. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Shutter Island is technically a horror movie.
That's a scary movie, though.
But, yes, it is. And it's very psychologically disturbing by the end of it. It leaves you positively unsettled.
You feel unbalanced throughout the movie.
You absolutely do.
That kind of stuff is very scary.
Yeah, no,
I
love that.
Sorry, I was too busy paying attention to the next brilliant question. What movie?
I said Shutter Island.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet.
It's really good. Yeah. I highly recommend that one.
It made me so uncomfortable because you feel like you can't keep your feet underneath you while you're watching that movie.
Yeah, you can't sort out what's going on.
Is it scary or is it just...
Yeah.
It is. It is. It has some pretty intense jump scares.
Yeah, see, I don't do the jump. I don't like jump scares.
But also, it's one of those movies where I've seen it probably 3 times now. And you catch something new every time. Yeah. You're like, oh, God, I didn't see that last time. And it's just it's not one of those movies that kind of flattens out. I imagine after a certain amount of viewings it would. But every time I've seen it, I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot. Or, oh, my God, I wasn't expecting that one.
Seeing it the second time, knowing what's going on, that's still scary. And you still pick up things. You see it from a different way. But
another
still...
super scary one that I've seen, and I always get the name mixed up, but I believe it's The Babadook.
Oh, my God. It's the best scary movie in 10 years.
God. It's horrifying, but it's so good. It's really good.
Yeah.
I don't really do scary
it's
movies.
It's really good.
You would not want to watch this one by yourself.
It's a really scary one. And there's something about kids that always really creeps me out. And he just, God. And
I want to watch it again.
It's good. I mean, the graphics and everything.
Well, we're not doing it for the podcast.
Quite good. And then I saw, I actually really love.
Unless you want me to sit upstairs while the two of you are watching it downstairs.
Fair enough. One of my favorite horror movie directors is Guillermo del Toro.
Yeah.
And he did a really good Spanish one called The Devil's Backbone and Pan's Labyrinth. Yeah. And both of those were really good. But he also,
Labyrinth really is one with horror film, though?
No, it's not. It's just one of his. I would say it's odd to say
still
the least.
Pretty creepy.
But I wouldn't say it's. I think Mama is him too.
Yes,
and
it is.
Mama was really creepy. The kid was the biggest problem because it would just scurry across the floor. And you're like, oh my God, kids aren't supposed to move like that.
Mama was.
Okay, well, I'm getting uncomfortable.
Now that you're thoroughly unsettled, good.
I mean, I would go with films that
look a kitten.
I know. Morecambe has now officially joined us. I'm gonna go with two movies that frighten me only because I'm frightened by the things in them, which is Anaconda, because I hate snakes.
Yeah.
Hate snakes.
Can't do it.
And It, because I hate clowns.
Okay. Which is, and I love Stephen King, and I did not dislike the movie, but they misrepresented It, and it annoys me because he's not a clown, technically.
He is in the new one as well.
I'm hoping, because he's supposed to be a Bogart, and he's supposed to show up as your scare. They just went with clown, which makes sense because clown is pretty widely unsettling.
Every child is terrified by clowns.
Yes,
he is
but
a
in the
Bogart.
Book,
it just happens that everyone is terrified.
No,
of clowns.
In the book, he appears as all sorts of stuff.
Yeah,
Well, he eventually
the clown is just the most prevalent.
He eventually turns into a spider.
Clowns don't scare me, so that I was lost with the clown.
How are you not afraid of clowns?
I mean, I do find clowns super unsettling.
They're terrifying.
But
yeah, they never bothered me.
I think it would have been interesting.
But the kid in the basement when they were in the basement and the kid thought of a werewolf. That part actually frightened me.
And it would have been really cool to see them go that direction with it. But I imagine it would be incredibly difficult to do. Although with today's tech, I don't know that it'd be that hard.
All right. Aren't you glad you asked about scary movies?
Thinking about clowns.
I love scary movies.
I've been saving this question. This will make me feel better. Question: which island was Gilligan stranded on?
Well.
Well, that seems really obvious.
And I'm going to read the answers.
Yeah. Good. All right, go ahead.
Answer number one: Gilligan's Island, of course.
Nailed it.
Answer number two: it said an uncharted island. Weren't you paying attention? Answer number three, the same one as in Lost, Gilligan was the smoke monster.
Fair enough.
And answer number four, Rhode Island.
That one's my favorite.
God, I loved Gilligan's Island. Mm-hmm. Gilligan's Island was great.
Mm-hmm. It was one of my favorite shows as a kid.
Have you seen any of the
movies?
It's
so stupid. Yeah.
Escape from Gilligan's Island. I think there was like a return. There was a couple Gilligan's Island movies.
Yeah.
And like.
They had the Globetrotters.
Was that in the movie or was that the TV show? I think they were in the
movie. No, that was in the movie.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a movie. Yeah.
What is your favorite horse movie?
Ooh.
I got one.
I like horse movies.
I have a couple.
My favorite is The Black Stallion.
That is classic.
Yeah.
That is really classic.
Just because of the relationship between the kid and the horse, there's like no dialogue.
Black Stallion always really upsets me a lot because it really upset me as a kid because there's that scene with like the wagon and if I remember correctly, it's like the horse's love interest being like carted away and it was just really upsetting. I really, really like Seabiscuit because I think the cast is just stellar in that movie. Oh my God. Gosh, you got Elizabeth Banks, who plays just an absolutely lovable character.
Yeah.
And you got Jeff Bridges. And he plays kind of that heartbroken, tired man, just like really very well. And that one's really good. And that's really like Hidalgo. Because, you know, desert escapes and whatnot. Those are pretty fun.
I am going to go with War Horse.
Never saw it.
It was good. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, in my opinion.
You're
but it was.
Fool.
It was good.
although I like all horse, I didn't like the sappy sort of Secretariat film they did.
I actually really liked Secretariat. Is that Diane Lane?
Yeah.
Mainly because I like
it's
her.
It's a Disney movie,
but it's a sweet movie.
Yeah.
Next random Yahoo answers question: anyone ever realize that killers in horror movies are big cowards?
No, I didn't realize that.
No.
They mostly keep their faces hidden, they attack from behind, and they target kids.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's kind
except
of
for in The Strangers. Oh my God, they targeted
okay, we're not
going
to start talking about horror movies again. Because I'm not doing it again.
Ooh, a horror movie that everyone should watch is Get Out. And that wasn't horror necessarily. But kind of arguably
the trailer for that made me so uncomfortable that
I know.
Haven't been able to bring myself to watch the movie. Cause like
I haven't seen it yet, but everyone has told me to watch it, and I just have to get around to doing it. Problem is, no one in my house likes horror movies.
I'm going to ask this question, even though we kind of already answered it in something we did in a segment, but who is the most consistent director? We did the director brackets. But not all those directors were consistent.
We did talk about who had the most consistent body of work, whose body of work was
when we were doing the brackets.
Yeah.
I think that was a topic.
We talked about
argument.
People like Billy Wilder and Hitchcock.
Well, Hitchcock certainly.
Hitchcock,
yeah.
I would say.
And that's, I think we settled on Hitchcock.
I would say Hitchcock, just in terms of sheer volume.
I think, honestly, Steven Spielberg could probably go on that list.
Yeah.
Have you seen 1941?
There are some exceptions, but Hitchcock had one or two as well.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Marnie?
Marnie would be
I'll never live that one down.
No. there's a lot of Die Hard questions in here for
some reason. I love Die Hard.
Best Christmas movie around.
I know. We will always watch it on Christmas. Drives my mom nuts.
What Exorcist movie includes the spider walk?
That's The Exorcist. Yeah, that's extra scenes that were deleted from
the... One of the many reasons that movie is horrifying and unsettling for everyone.
Didn't get to see it in the theaters, though.
I would have left. I would have walked out during a couple of those scenes if I had opted to go see that in the theater.
Okay, some of these, they're just dicking around. In the film Mutiny on the Bounty, can anyone tell me what the name of the ship was?
Obviously, it was Mutiny.
Yes, the ship's name was Mutiny.
Obviously.
The popcorn at AMC didn't have enough butter. Can I sue?
Yes.
Definitely.
Always. Trauma.
What if I go to the movie with no clothes on?
You'll probably not be there long.
What is a better movie, Die Hard or Breakfast Club?
Die Hard, easy.
Well, you can't answer that, Glenn. You've never seen The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, okay, but I hate The Breakfast Club. The Die Hard is better.
And I'll do this as a sort of final one. Well, I'm gonna say this one, and then we'll do a final one. Why do all these monkeys have guns?
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Love that question. Final Yahoo Answers question. Which actor played the best portrayal of Adolf Hitler in film? There's a serious answer to this. And then
we just talked about him, Cam.
He would probably be my pick.
Or what's the name of the movie? I forgot.
Downfall.
Yes.
Bruno Ganz.
Yeah.
He would be my pick. Oh, well, I have two. I actually have three.
Okay.
Lay them on us.
Not technically Hitler, but certainly a Hitler character, Charlie Chaplin.
Yes.
The Great Dictator.
And then in a, I think it was a mini series, Alec Guinness played Hitler in a mini series and was very good. And it was a role he sought out to do. He really wanted to play him. It was weird, but you know.
Yeah.
So those would be my three.
Have you guys ever watched, it's an Amazon series, and Hitler is in it a little bit, but he's a much older Hitler, but it's called The Man in the High
Hitler
Castle.
Hitler got an Amazon series? Boy, they're giving
well,
him
no, he's a brief castle. Part of, whoever, I don't remember the actor, but he did a very good job.
I have seen one episode of that.
It's actually quite
That's
good.
That's the one in where it's like if America was,
which I love those kind of alternative history books
like
and stuff like that.
Like the new Wolfenstein video game.
It is very cool.
They're very good, I have to say.
And also it kind of has a weird,
not my recommendation,
confusing sci-fi
yeah.
twist with the tape keeper and whatnot. But
in the books was different, though. It was it wasn't like tapes or
no,
movies.
No, it wasn't
it
weird
was
films.
Like a book or something, or books or diaries or something.
It's an interesting, I don't watch it for the weird sci-fi subplot. I read the books for that because it was well done in the books. Mm. I don't think it's as well done in the movies, but or in the show. But I like the look at what history would be like. They do a really good job of kind of making something that would be utterly horrifying to us seem extremely normal. Mm-hmm. And it's really cool. And that aspect of it is well done.
What's the one I always get it confused with? There's like a 1980s Soviet. Oh, The Americans.
Also a good show, actually.
Yeah,
also a really good show. I like the actress in that.
Yeah, so Glenn, any Hitlers that you like?
That's about it.
I mean, Hitler's an Inglourious Bastard for about 30 seconds.
Well, and Mel Brooks.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Mel Brooks more than once, I think. Yeah, well, History of the World Part 2. Although, no, he didn't play him. Who played him?
Yeah, it was just some
Hitler
guy.
On
Hitler
ice.
On Ice. That was just some
But Mel
skater.
Brooks played Hitler in something, didn't he?
I'm trying to remember now.
Or maybe I just picture Mel Brooks.
He
should
have, yeah, if he hadn't. Yeah, I can't think of any other.
Yeah, all right. So that was the question and answer segment. Thank you, Yahoo Answers,
exciting.
For your sometimes unquestionable, unrepeatable questions.
Nice.
Sorry.
That was easy for me to say.
Yeah, totally on top of that. So now we move into, everyone's got their phones out because it's time for recommendations.
Yes.
And we're going to start with Sarah because she's looking supremely confident having put her phone down.
I did. I was curious about what my recommendations Rotten Tomato rating was. My recommendation is actually, it's an older film.
It's ranked 3% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, it's not. It's ranked 79%. And it was a 2003 movie. And it is a movie, it's a Western called Open Range.
I love Open Range.
It's so good. Yeah, oh my God, I love Costner's that movie. Good, oh, God.
You've got Robert Duvall in it.
Yes, you've got Kevin Costner, you've got Duvall. Annette Bening is utterly charming.
And the French kid.
Yeah, whose name I can't remember, but his character's name is Button.
Yeah, it is Button. But, and Button's got a dog.
Yes, but Open Range is my recommendation. It is probably my favorite Western. It's really wonderful. Kevin Costner plays this kind of gruff cowboy with a heart of gold. He's a rancher.
And Michael Gambon's the bad guy in it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's so good. I just bought it on DVD. I'm gonna have to watch it.
It's kinda long though.
It is. It's I think 2.5 hours long.
And I think also directed by Kevin Costner.
Yeah. It is one of his directors.
Have you not seen this film?
I haven't.
Oh, I highly recommend it. It's an absolutely incredible movie. But it's great. It's got all of the wonderful aspects of a Westerner. It's got great shootouts. It's got a wonderful hero. Nice. The love interest, played by Annette Bening, who I adore. She's in one of my other favorite movies, American President. Plays the sister of the doctor in town. She's, you know, that strong, independent type. She's supposed to be kind of late, older in age. And the whole idea is, you know, they meet later in life and they can find love. And it's a wonderful film. It is utterly heartwarming.
It's a movie, not a miniseries, right?
It's a movie, yep.
Okay.
It's a really great movie.
Check it out.
I'm also going to recommend a Western because I realized this might have been on my list of favorite films pre-1960. And also maybe on my list of films that I'd want to be the only film I could have left to watch. And that is 1959's Rio Bravo.
Oh, nice.
Bravo.
John Wayne and Dean Martin.
Good choice.
Dean Martin proving he's just as good an actor as he is a singer.
Yeah.
He is very good in that film.
I love Dean Martin.
And Ricky Nelson, who is harmless in that film.
They threw him in there.
They threw him in as the
young people
to
watch. Yeah.
So, yes, Rio Bravo, a film that was... essentially,
it's a remake.
What is a remake, actually?
Yeah, I mean, they did it with Robert Mitchum, too.
But it was, I'm trying to remember. Rio Bravo was a Howard Hawks film.
Yeah.
Howard Hawks and John Wayne, and it was their response to High Noon, which they hated.
Really?
They hated it because they said it portrayed... they didn't like what's his name?
Gary Cooper.
Gary Cooper's portrayal of a person who, you know, a loner, basically.
Mm.
Which is weird because John Wayne was a loner in most of his films.
Mm. Yep.
But they took against some sort of bullshit philosophical thing that they thought that it was, you know, an allegory for, you know, the political era of Hollywood.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, it was a commie. It was a commie Western versus a good old American, red-blooded American Western. That's the way they saw it, I'm sure.
John Wayne was quoted as calling High Noon un-American.
Yeah, see, I knew that's how they'd look at that.
And said he did not regret helping run the writer Carl Foreman out of the country.
Wow.
Good. So, you know, stellar response on that end.
Director Howard Hawks went on to on the record to criticize High Noon by saying, quote, "I don't think a good sheriff was going to go running around town like a chicken with his head cut off asking for help."
Well, why
and finally
not?
His Quaker wife had to help have to save him. So basically it was macho bullshit was the reason they didn't like High Noon.
See, and that's such a funny contrast because in one of the best parts of Open Range is like the bad guy rolls into town and all of the townspeople just get their guns out. And just go out and they're like, all right, we're doing this, and just have a massive shootout.
That being said, it did lead to Rio Bravo, which is a fantastic film, and I recommend you.
Yeah.
So it worked
all
out.
All right. Very good.
My rifle, my pony, and me. Glenn, your
nice.
Recommendation.
Should I do a Western, or should I go with my original recommendation?
Whatever you want to do.
Westerns,
whatever you want to do.
I'll go with my original. But if I did do a Western, it would be Silverado, which to me brought Westerns back in style. And paved the way for Lonesome Dove and all those.
I thought you would go with Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
He rode a
but
blazing
the
saddle.
The movie I've been dying to recommend, and I keep forgetting to do so, is from 2003. It's called Secondhand Lions.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Michael Caine.
Michael
Caine, oh
Robert
God,
Duvall,
that is a
Haley Joel Osment.
I don't know that it's a great movie.
It's
a great movie. It's awesome.
It's endearing.
Even Kira Sedgwick is lovable
in
that.
It's endearing.
Oh my God,
I don't know that it's a great
film. Up in that.
It's a great movie. Oh my
I love
gosh.
It. I keep forgetting to recommend it. It's one
that
of my favorite movies.
That whole scene where he gives them, you know, gives them the man's speech after beating the crap out of them in a restaurant. It's an awesome movie.
It is.
I mean, I like the movie. I just don't know if it's a great film.
It's great.
It's my recommendation.
As far as I'm concerned, it's great.
I just don't like
it. I like their adventure. I
like
when they
Haley
do the flashbacks to their adventures and everything. I like it all.
The flashbacks are fun.
You know, it's all great.
No, I enjoyed the movie.
I thought it was so sweet.
And I would recommend seeing it if people haven't seen it.
There's a movie that's a little bit like that in some ways. In sort of the fantasy realm, because that movie sort of is almost in the fantasy realm.
Almost, yeah.
And it's Disney's The Kid.
Also a good movie.
Yeah, which I like.
Also a good movie.
All right, well, Secondhand Lions is better than that film.
Yes.
It is, yeah.
I also really like in that kind of storytelling, flashback, alternative realities kind of thing. I love the movie Big Fish. I've always really liked that one. It's just it's well acted. You got to love
also
a young
Michael Gambon, I think, isn't it?
I believe so. I know it's based off of a book.
Albert Finney's in it.
Maybe I'm thinking of Albert Finney.
If I remember correctly, isn't it? It's a young Ewan. It's pretty young Ewan
McGregor. Yeah, Ewan McGregor's in it.
And he's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
Big Fish is terrific. I don't remember who plays the wife older, his mom, but she's a really wonderful. Jessica Lange?
Is it Jessica Lange?
I think the redhead. It is Jessica Lange. His
Hell
wife.
Of a Bottom Carter is in it.
I think his I think his wife is Marianne Cotillard.
Mm-hmm.
It was Albert Finney, I was thinking of.
Yeah.
But that's a great movie.
Who's essentially just an older version of Michael Gambon at this point.
It's a very well-filmed movie.
Molly Cyrus.
It's beautiful.
It's a really beautiful film.
Strangely enough, Secondhand Lions always makes me think of El Camino for some reason. Because I think it's just old guys bitching about things.
Really? Oh, so different.
They are completely different. But it's essentially old classic Hollywood actors complaining about things.
The three movies that I always, for whatever, and I think it's because of the storytelling aspect, the three movies that I always wrap together in that kind of respect are Big Fish, Secondhand Lions, and I love Fried Green Tomatoes. Oh my God, that's one of my all-time favorite movies.
I've seen that since it came out.
Slightly different.
I love that movie. I think it's so sweet. The book is also very good.
It was better than Steel Magnolias.
Well, yeah. Anything starring Dolly Parton is going to be a mess.
Oh, that's not true. Dolly Parton has some working 9 to 5.
That is good. Lily Tomlin is pretty great. Jane Fonda.
Lily Tomlin is so good in there. She's on the bathroom wall downstairs.
She is on the bathroom wall.
She's wonderful. She was great in that very brief arc that she did on The West Wing. She was great. She played the secretary.
It must have been later seasons that I didn't see.
Dolores Landingham.
And she does a great job.
Yeah.
Her initial interview is hilarious. It's fantastic.
And she's in a new series with
Grace and Frankie. Also very good.
Jane Fonda.
And Michael, what's his last name? Oh my God.
Oh, Martin Sheen.
Martin Sheen, thank you. I was going to say.
And also from Law and Order.
He plays the lawyer. His character's name is Sam Worthington?
No.
No, God.
Close.
It's Sam Watterson.
Thank you.
Sam Watterson. Have you seen this show?
No.
It's very cute.
The concept essentially is that Jane Fonda's character and Martin Sheen's character are married, and
Lily Tomlin
and Sam Watterson's characters were married. And Sam Watterson and Martin Sheen were partners in a law firm. And they ended up having an affair with each other. And
for like 20 years.
And leaving their wives.
It's hilarious.
So it's about the two wives are like sort of best friends, but they can't really stand
each
other.
They move in together at a beach house.
They move in together in their beach house.
Jane Fonda plays this very prim and proper, conservative, rich. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and Lily Tomlin is essentially a hippie.
She's a hippie psycho with a son named Coyote. One of the funniest shows I've ever seen.
All right.
And Martin Sheen and Sam Watterson are together living in like a big house.
It's really funny.
Yeah.
It's a very well done show.
And it's hilarious watching Sam Waters did and Martin Sheen play a gay couple.
I know.
And they're really good at it.
They're really good at it. And it's very unexpected for those two actors.
Yeah, so I would recommend that too.
Yeah. All right. Now that we've, you know, totally deviated.
Yeah, so there you go. That's our recommendations segment.
It's a solid
good stuff.
Segment.
And that would be the end of the podcast.
Oh, man.
For those of you who are listening to this, you don't realize how much we've actually edited it out. but thank you for watching, and I remain your host, Cameron, along with other host,
Glenn,
and
Sarah,
soon to be regular host.
Woo!
Yeah.
Sarah.
Woo!
Woo!
So if you're not listening to this episode, write into the Better with the Blues Film Club podcast. That's bwbfilmclub@gmail.com as Glenn's microphone falls off. And we say goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Markham says, yeah. All right, see ya.
Bringing it up. Yeah, stepping it up.
Heck yeah.
She needs to step up again.
I'm gonna learn all that trivia stuff, and I'm going to kill it next time.
She may even actually start drinking something.
I might get you, depending on what you start.
I have to have one of those soda pop episodes.
Ew, I hate soda. Soda's nasty.
Well, we're going to have an all-coffee episode, apparently.
I do
although,
love coffee.
Although, apparently, right, neither of you knew that Kahlua was flavored with
right,
coffee.
In our defense.
Know. It was.
It just seemed
coffee.
Way too obvious.
Honestly, I was thinking, okay, what else is in Kahlua?
That was what I was thinking. Like, I was like, it can't be.
Was there like
coffee.
Licorice in there or something?
Yeah, no. I was like, there's got to be something specific that you're looking for.
What is that coffee liqueur flavor?
What is it? It can't
it is
be.
Buried
it's
in Grant's
tomb. Tomb.
That coffee liqueur.
It tastes like breakfast. What is it? Oh, I can't think
wakes
of it.
You right up. Oh,
no. Although, to be fair, we're probably editing that part out of the show, so they'll be completely confused by that callback.
Well, now you have to edit the ending out.
That's true.
That's true. We have to edit the whole thing out.
Just the whole
so
thing. Never happened.
There'll be no episode you're listening to.